time for?
My favorite show.
You what? My favorite show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and remember, Friday is best day of my life.
You seem happy this morning.
I am happy.
Because it's Friday.
Because it's Friday.
This is cause for celebration.
Friday! Let's do this.
It's showtime.
TSN 1200.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. 9:14 here, Friday morning. You made it. The weekend is here. It's going to be a nice weekend. Lots of sunshine, but kind of cool temperatures. In fact, we're at 5. Just got a note from the Golf Course Pro. There's a frost delay today of an hour. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, so the tee times for today. That'll be the story of the weekend, too, by the way. Overnight lows of 0 and minus 1. So October's come a little bit early, but the good news is by mid-next week, we should be back up to about 20, which is, 19, 20 would be normal, typical for this time of year, but a little bit cooler, but at least going to be dry this weekend and lots of sunshine around.
Yeah, and our next guest lives in an area where it can be awful steamy in the summer, but you hit around this time into October, and JR, those guys like Darren Pang, they're golfing year-round. That beauty Missouri weather, one of the best places on the planet.
There you go. Our next guest, yes, would be Jim Montgomery, the new assistant coach of the St. Louis Blues. Before we bring Jimmy on, I want to read you this text we got from Noah, the bus driver. He's a big fan of the station, always just sends in lots of texts. He says, guys, once you have Monty on, please let him know that he has a giant fan in Ottawa. I thank him for joining you guys on the radio. A huge stick tap to a fellow person in recovery, talking honest and bouncing back. Yeah. Have a great weekend, guys. That's from Noah.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Jimmy came over from Montreal back in the day and played for the Pembroke Lumber Kings. Some great teams there. Went on to win a national championship. Really made Paul Curry as a player. then won a national championship with Denver, and now Dallas on to St. Louis.
The rest is history. Without further ado, to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go, where we welcome Jim Montgomery to the show. How are you doing this morning, Jim?
I'm doing great, guys, and really appreciate that text from Tom, my newfound friend.
There you go.
And friend forever now. And then also, can I get a copy of that, what Simmer just said about how I made Korea? Because every time I talk to him, he keeps telling me how I'd be nothing without him.
All good. Is that when you can get him off the surfboard out in California?
Oh, yeah. I called him the other day. He was just telling me how he had just finished surfing for a couple of hours. I said, retirement's really hard for you. He started at 38, and it just keeps going the rest of your life.
Would you ever see that guy, Paul Kariya, as, and I don't know if he has any interest, as being a guy who would have an interest in getting into hockey, be it as a coach or a scout or anything like that?
No, I think Paul does not have any interest. He loves watching from afar, and he still loves the beauty and aesthetics of the game, but he also likes it in soccer a lot. When we talk, a lot of times we end up talking about Manchester City and how their coach plays and stuff like that, that he's really attracted to ball possession in soccer and obviously puck possession in hockey.
Monty, hey, if we're going to be on that subject, we might as well do a little Maine hockey. And the late, great Sean Walsh, hey, anyone that's been to Orono, Maine, to get people to recruit there, we've been kind of crapping on Sudbury. That makes Sudbury look like Las Vegas. His ability to recruit, and you were a great talent for the Paul Kariya's and the entire Kariya family. What made it so magical to go there and ultimately win a national championship?
Well, you know what? Sean was so charismatic. The guy could sell, the saying, he could sell ice to an ice fisherman. It's something that he did naturally. I remember the day I committed, he showed me a video of the fans going wild in a big home game. And he goes, what number you want to wear? We got 19 and 20 available. I said, well, I mean, huge Steve Eisenman, Joe Sakic fan. He goes, so I'd like 19. It's yours. And he took out his hand. He goes, welcome to Maine Black Bears. I didn't know what to do. I just shook his hand.
And the rest, as they say, is history. Well, listen, we wanted to bring you on for a couple of reasons. You've been good enough to join us throughout the playoffs with some good breakdown and stuff. But the news of this week is just terrific. So tell us how it all came together, where you have now been hired by Craig Berube as the assistant coach with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, you know, it happened quick. I think if I go with dates, two Tuesdays ago was the first interaction I had, Doug Armstrong called me first. We met for breakfast the next day. I spoke with Craig Berube, chief, on the phone the next day. And he said, those meetings went very well, talking hockey, about fit, trust, all those things that really matter to the Blues. And really, as Simmer knows, any organization in hockey. And then I met with Army again quickly for a coffee. We agreed that on last Friday that I wouldn't be talking to any other teams. He wouldn't talk to other candidates. And then I met Tuesday with Mr. Stillman and Army again. And, they talked about their beliefs and giving people second chances and just the way they felt welcome about all my personal problems, but also how they wanted to be a support system to add to my recovery. It was incredible to hear, because it's not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody, I don't want to say understands it. I mean, everybody's very empathetic, but to be able to want to work with it is a whole nother level. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity and for my family to already be here. We've moved here 2 months ago, and for this all to happen, sometimes you think fate is working with you.
And Monty, to that, first of all, incredible, and I'm so thankful, first of all, you got in that quickly, but to be in St. Louis, in your wildest dreams, when everything transpired in Dallas, you get yourself into rehab going through this, you had to be wondering, hey, quite simply, would you ever work in the National Hockey League again?
Well, you know what, you're absolutely right. I wondered if I would ever get the opportunity to coach again, never mind the NHL. A lot of people like you, Simmer, people that reached out when I was at the lowest of my lows and hit rock bottom. You really find out who your friends are. And a lot of people say, if you do the right things, things will turn around. And, I got over 9 months sobriety now and feel stronger in my resolve and have more tools and people that I know I can call and connect that can just help me at any time of the day. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. And I'm a better person. I'm a better coach because I have the experience now. And I'm talking about the experience of coaching. And then I also have the experience of having grown and matured out of what was a catastrophic moment in my life and overcoming that adversity. I still have to work diligently every day, but I have those tools now. And I'm just excited right now to start second chapter of my coaching career. And what a great opportunity to work with a fantastic, talented team and incredible staff.
With Jim Montgomery, listen, as you said, you're 9 months into it. It's a journey. It's something you're going to have to, battle and deal with your entire life. If this opportunity, being an assistant, getting back in the coaching game, had occurred in any other place other than the place you just moved to, where your wife is from, where your support system is, would you have taken it?
Well, it would have taken a lot of soul searching to see if this was the right moment to get back into coaching. I can't say yes or no to that question. It would depend, A, on the people that I'm working with and for.
Yeah, no, so much of the support system ends up helping you. Now, I know you're friends with the Dallas people. I know you like them, but you're also a competitive person. In a strange way, with the timing of them going to the final and you reemerging, I don't want to say softens the blow, but I'm sure there's times you think, boy, I wish that was me that was there. Does it kind of just make everything a little bit easier at this point?
No, the job doesn't, it's not the thing that makes things easier. The thing that makes things easier was it's my own actions and behaviors is the reason I'm not with the Dallas Stars. I don't have resentment towards the Dallas Stars or anyone there. I actually love and care for so many people there. And when this got announced, I couldn't pick up the phone, but I see my phone ringing because I was doing an interview. But I'm talking, I got Rick Bowness and John Stevens are a couple of the first phone calls I get, it just speaks to, I'm pulling for Rick Bowness. This is a wonderful man, who's been in the game, coaching and in the league as a player for over 40 years. And he's gone to the Cup Final now. This will be his third time. And hopefully the third time's a charm. And there's a lot of people there that I'm rooting for.
Just circle back to your time, to what you're going to be doing in St. Louis. An assistant coach, you can, you know, there are a million different tasks, but what is going to be your main job as the assistant in St. Louis?
You know, Chief's got to tell me those exact things. I just told him, listen, I'm going to help in any way, shape, or form that is going to help Chief, is going to help the rest of the staff and the Blues to perform at their highest level to regain the Cup. And we've spoken a little bit, but we're really going to dig into detail next week when he flies back into St. Louis and we meet as a staff and start to go over everything.
Are you ready? And you're not being hired from it, but I'm sure at some point, Monty, you're going to be approached by players that are having some of the same difficulties. I look at what McGrattan does in Calgary. I've got to think that skill set for everything you've gone through could help, well, whether it be anybody in the organization or anybody for that matter, to understand of where you were at to where you're at now.
Well, you know, it's a great point that you make, but my job is to coach. But if there comes an instance where a player wants to talk about any kind of mental health issues, I have a lot of, obviously the experience, but also having done the research, having gone to a rehab facility, understanding the science and how the brain works, you know, I can explain options that are out there to help them get better. But hopefully those situations don't arise, and we're just talking about power play, penalty kill, and how to protect pucks.
All that good stuff. Jim Montgomery is our guest. Help us break down the Stanley Cup Final. Your former team, the Dallas Stars, are going to face the Tampa Bay Lightning. You would have seen all of this play out over the past 6 weeks. It's been a long, speaking of long journeys, it's been a long time, 8 weeks or more in the bubble for these two teams. From what either you observe or maybe even texting back and forth with some people, what do you think they're feeling right now as they can sort of see light at the end of the tunnel with one more series to go?
Well, I think this is going to be the greatest series we've seen in the playoffs. I think you got two teams that have played extremely physical, two teams that have excellent goaltending. Dallas, in the last round, really played a committed checking game, and I think they beat Vegas because they pushed them outside the dot. They own the net front and one special team. Now, off the rush, Dallas didn't give Vegas much, and Vegas is very good off the rush. Tampa's top line is the best line off the rush. So is Tampa going to get those opportunities against Dallas? You know, and then you have the Vasilevsky. Hudobin's a wonderful goaltender, and I love the young man. He's ultra competitive, and the guys in front of him compete like you wouldn't believe because they see how hard he competes. But you have to give Vasilevsky the edge just because he's been a starter in the league for a longer period of time. There's a lot of intriguing matchups as well. You know, who's the two lines Dallas is going to use against the point line? You know, Tampa's been using 11 forwards, so they're going to come over the board. You can't go with one line. It's going to be interesting to see that. But then Dallas's four lines can overwhelm you. And how does that affect Tampa playing in their own end a little bit more? So we'll see who ends up winning that battle. And the interesting matchups are going to be the physicality battles. Who does Tampa match up against Jamie Benn? You know, the decor of Tampa, especially, you know, they're playing the 7D. They have two really physical D-men, in Bogey and Shen, that I think have given them a real edge back there. Now, but they're going to have to defend and also be physical a lot more, I think, against Dallas because of the way they grind and forecheck. It's extremely, to me, two teams that are completely opposite in the way they play, which is going to lead to interesting games. I think we're going to have a couple high-scoring games. We're going to have a couple real low-scoring games. But I think defense wins championships. I think Dallas in seven.
Well, and you, I look at Vegas being ahead.
That written down in pen, by the way.
Nice. Okay. Vegas being a little heavier than Tampa. Does this set up real well for Klingberg and Heskanen, where you could see them being a major factor?
You know what? I was surprised that Vegas was not as productive in that area against Dallas. You know, and I think that that third line in Tampa of Gaudreau and Gordy and Coleman, they're fast and physical. They might get on top of those guys a little bit more. That's why I expect it to be a long series. I think there's going to be incredible momentum swings, and for us hockey fans, I think we're going to be treated to a great final series.
Jim, you know, going back to your college days, I'm sure that rallying cries, and whether it be on T-shirts or whatever, just things that guys say to themselves, sometimes they take on a life of their own. And I don't know if you're on social media at all, but the Dallas Stars social media people, at the end of every playoff series so far, there's the player of the game, where the player of the previous game gives the this big chain and with a big Stars decal on it to the next player of the game. And then that player says, "We're not going home." Can you just talk about the, you know, from a coach's point of view, of players, you know, kind of rallying around things like that, they slogans, or just the tiniest little things that, that teams can glom onto that they do rally around?
Well, I think it's extremely important. I think it's even more so in the bubble. You know, "We're not going home" is something that immediately when the players hear one person say it, it gives them life. It gives them a belonging to be doing something special. And it turns what can be a potential negative situation into a positive and an inspiring moment. So I think Dallas is on to something special there.
Yeah, no, I think that ends up being something cool. Do you look at this, Monty, where, hey, I think Tampa went a little further against the Islanders, turned into a real trench war, real imperative that Dallas take advantage of that come Saturday night?
I think it's really important that Dallas gets off to that jump like they did against Colorado in that first game. I mean, against Vegas in the first game after that series against Colorado, but Vegas played the next night and finished, right? It is important that they get off to that jump. And it's going to be interesting to see on both sides how healthy they are. Point in particular, that's the big advantage that Tampa has, is when you look at special players, in my opinion, Tampa has four special players that are superstars in the league. And I think, you know, Dallas has a lot of excellent players. They have one superstar in my mind in Heiskanen.
All right, good stuff. We hope it'll be a great final. It's been a grind at times. It's a little tough to watch, but there is nothing better than watching that team finally achieve the ultimate prize in what many people are saying kind of the ultimate tournament that we've had going on. Listen, it was really great of you to come on over the past few weeks. Really, congratulations on the new job. Sounds like you're in a fantastic place. Simmer raves about you kind of off the air and is really proud of what you've been able to accomplish, and we're really glad that you've landed on your feet, and we'll chat with you again down the road, but really appreciate the time over the past few weeks.
Well, thanks a lot, and Simmer's a great man and a good friend, and I appreciate him being incredibly supportive through my journey.
All right, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, there's Jim Montgomery, assistant coach of the St. Louis Blues, joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, brought to you by Pizza Perks at Gabriel Pizza. Download the Gabriel Pizza Perks app and sign up today.
Yeah, and you know, you had some questions there. I mean, if you're getting an assistant coaching job, first of all, where he's at, you'd never go by yourself, or I'd never recommend a JR going to a new city, traveling around. Would your family all of a sudden want to move? But to have had this situation where you go to St. Louis, and, hey, you're talking about a hell of a hockey team, a situation, support. Like I said, I just couldn't be more thrilled, and it couldn't happen any better. And it's really, really good. And I wouldn't have asked him there. I've never really found out what happened to him other than he went into rehab. Probably was fair emotional, because he probably, with Doug Armstrong, probably had to sit down. And I don't even know if Jimmy Neal would have passed anything along. Jimmy's kept this very quiet. Right. Would you have had to really explain, like, why were they able to void the last couple of years on your contract?
Yeah, for sure. All right, Stanley Cup Final kicks off, as we said, tomorrow. We'll have the game, all the games for you here on TSN 1200. Tomorrow's game, by the way, 7:30 face-off. All the rest of the games are at 8, and all of them right here on your home of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll take a break, come back. We'll review this day in sports history and celebrate some sports and hockey birthdays. We'll get into the rest of the weekend that's ahead. Get you an update on the U.S. Open. Round two is underway, so lots still to come. Right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
It's not
it's a
person.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor Bob.
Not Bob far Cajun. From, not far from Dutchie's place.
Yeah, no. No, that would that tune right there, that's nice. And you can feel that, the Canadiana and a little cottage time. And hey, our beautiful falls, that would be pretty good.
Yeah. Would that come out of the Simmer Tasty tune?
Is that oh, no, that one flows. No, like I said, the only one is just that whatever Mission Cap. It just, I wasn't familiar with their music. And
whatever.
It just, no, but it didn't, like, those are,
what mission was it? 4951?
Well, I don't even know what it was, but it just, those other tunes, they're just a nice flow to it. It's just really cool. And like I said, become a fan and watching that last concert across the street at the Sen's house and national TV and everybody quiet in there just listening and having a chance to see them play at Blues Fest, certainly became more of a fan.
Paul Texan at 12-1200. Love Jim Montgomery. Great interview, guys. That comes from Paul.
Yeah, and Noah, the bus driver, I know quite well. His boy is a goaltender. They've been in the Gloucester Association where Mirror boys end up playing. So seeing him from years, a super, super guy, and great to see that he's in a real good spot as well.
Yeah. All right, 9:42. Let's, get you a quick update. Sorry, first on the U.S. Open because round two is underway, and Thomas Peters, the big Belgian, had gone 2-under early in his round. He's given one shot back, so he is now back at 5-under, tied with Justin Thomas, who will tee off this afternoon. Of note, Dustin Johnson, DJ, world number one, is out early this morning. He's got two birdies on his card in the first six holes, so he is up to 1-over. And again, based on yesterday's scoring, cut line, JR projecting, will be around 4-over or so.
We got to get the CNN sounder when you're predicting the election. Hey, either a Wolf Blitzer.
Give me a breaking news. Breaking news. Hey. I don't mind that. JR projects U.S. Open cut line, top 60 in ties will be 4 yeah. over par.
Wow, and nice. You'll be wrong, yeah. Just like CNN and Fox and all the other people that...
Well, no, not the CNN fella there.
No.
What was the fella that works the board all the time,
with his
JR?
Glass panel?
Oh, he
John King.
Oh, man.
That guy's amazing.
Oh, he works the counties, eh? He just goes.
He's already studying.
Oh,
the election's
time.
Like 6 weeks away. Oh. He's got it down.
And you got a press on. You're looking at these states and how they break them up by county. You're talking about voting of about 5,000 people and to be able to throw that one in there and how it's going to affect the race. And then I got to go to the other state. And, yeah, he is a treat to watch.
Sudbury is the Denny's of Ontario. Wrench to Sudbury. That comes from unsigned. Wow. There we go.
Denny's?
Yeah. Is Denny's still around?
Oh, yeah. Heck okay, yeah, man. Right. Of course.
But there's only
one over Miami.
It's just
but
the
there's
one
only
in
one,
South Keys. That
eh?
One? Is that the only one that's open?
I think there's one on. Is it closed on Maryville? Is that one done?
I don't know.
You're firing up a strong breakfast. We're in Riverside South. You're heading over to Broadway's. That's the spot. You get a nice little eggs, a little bit of those fries, or the home fries.
Smart
enough to put a little garlic on those things. They are a tasty treat.
Yeah. Got an update. The farm team, by the way, is not from Belleville, as
okay.
I suspected.
Okay.
He is a dairy farmer.
Oh, okay.
He
that's
wanted to
I
clarify
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what I all the way, and then you mentioned it. And I also wonder, maybe this is going to be obvious, and I'm going to sound stupid, but I'll say it on the air anyway. Any idea of why they come up with the term farm team back in the day? Like, are you going there to grow and marinate, like kind of on the farm?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes as much sense as anything.
Yeah, no, most other people just call it your affiliate or your A team or in baseball, like AAA.
Yeah. Yep, there we go. All right, 9:45. Let's look at this day in sports history, shall we, for this 18th day of September. Fairly short list of significant events. On this day in 1984, for your old-timey Expo fan, Tim Raines became the first player in Major League Baseball history to have four straight 70 stolen base seasons. I think we were talking last week or the week before, and I know analytics tells you the stolen base is not an important thing or not worth it from a risk-reward point of view. I miss the stolen base being a big part of baseball.
Yeah,
it was super exciting.
Well, only if my team's playing, because the amount of times that the pitcher would throw to first base, if my team's not playing, I don't have any interest. But, no, that tone for when your team was down and All of a sudden, you're in an Expos game, and Timmy Raines is leading off, and he gets on to first base. That was incredible energy that was created on the back and forth as to whether or not he was going to steal second.
And then he was followed up by Rodney Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they steal second and third.
Yeah. And would that have been around the time they acquired Al Oliver as well? Came over to play first base, wearing zero?
Yeah. Wearing number zero. That's one. Right? That's my only memory of Al Oliver, wearing number zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Hawk Dawson, Andre Dawson could steal a base for you, too.
Which one
right?
of the two had just gotten out of jail, basically, when they joined the Expos? Didn't one of them have some real problems?
What, one of their star players?
Yeah, between Ron LaFleur and...
Ron LaFleur for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How many people have worn zero on the back of their jersey?
Well, Neil Sheehy did for Hartford, right? I don't think anybody... You remember that hammer because, like I said, I think he was like a trade deadline playing first base, and I don't recall anybody else, but that as a kid was a really big deal.
Because that's what my kid wants to go with ONC. When it's jersey number picking time, he wants to go zero. I'm like, zero?
No, you're asking for trouble from everybody around.
Is that your batting
that's
average?
That's the 99 on the hockey jersey. Yeah. Like, don't do it.
No. You're asking what Zimmer said. You're just asking
what's
for
his favorite. What's his favorite number? Don't tell me it's zero.
No. Well, 7 and 27 is what he's worn consistently.
Yeah.
There you go. On this day in 1990, the city of Atlanta was chosen to host the 1996 Summer Olympics. And, of course, they beat out Toronto in the voting.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the day, maybe we Canadian taxpayers are thankful that Toronto didn't end up winning that because that was back in the day when cities would absolutely blow their brains out and spend as much money as they could to host Olympic Games.
Well, Atlanta, a great city, a huge corporate area. And at the time, we would have had Ted Turner, right? I mean, the influence that he had, CNN, a lot of things kind of working in their favor. But you're right. I couldn't believe, what did we have a couple of years ago in Toronto? The Pan American Games?
Yes.
The bill for that thing that nobody even cared about was ridiculous. If you're not building facilities, and I think Vancouver did a pretty good job, did they not?
Yeah, for sure. You absolutely. Listen, we've got facilities now in Vancouver and Calgary, and I'm all in on hosting a Winter Olympics. I think it's great, and I think there is some small tangible benefit in terms of tourism and all that other stuff. But we've got facilities. We'll shine them up a little bit, spend a little bit of money. We don't need to build new stuff.
No.
I'd love new stuff.
No, I'd love to see a city like Quebec City get it from a Canadian perspective. But no, why build all that if it's not going
to
be used?
A little tough to find a mountain that's high enough, though, to put the downhill on.
Mont-Saint-Anne? No, it's not.
Well, listen, I'm not a skier. There's probably lots of skiing friends out there that could, unless they create something where they ski around the mountain three times. I think it's a great challenge.
Some of the hills go right into Vermont, so you could join those.
There you go. You know, if it's icy enough, take it right across the St. Lawrence.
Oh, absolutely.
On this day in 1996, Roger Clemens struck out 20 Detroit Tigers, tying the Major League Baseball record for most strikeouts in a game.
Yeah, funny, because one of his big strikeout games, and we've played it on here before, was that game, very memorable game with the Red Sox, was a spring game. Remember there was nobody in the stands? And it was
raining. Early in the season?
Yeah, it was raining, right? Yeah. I just remember it being real cold. And at that time, when he broke in the 80s, it wasn't like the Red Sox now, where every game is sold out. I mean, they didn't really sell out until after Memorial Day and up until Labor Day.
On this day in 2014, Devin Hester returned a punt for a touchdown. That would be his 20th career return for a TD, breaking Deion Sanders' NFL record. Devin Hester, if memory serves, ran one back in the Super Bowl, right? Did he not? When for the Bears against the Colts, wasn't it the opening kickoff of the game?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I think that the Colts ended up with, that was Peyton Manning's one and only Super Bowl win in Indy.
Yeah.
Or I could be completely wrong, but I think I'm right.
Drawing a blank on, what's the fellow's name that was the big college star that for Green Bay ended
Desmond
up
Howard?
With Desmond Howard?
He did that in the second half.
Did he win the MVP of the Super Bowl?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and then talk about a specialist, right?
The specialist isn't me.
Absolutely correct. Opening kickoff of the Super Bowl against the Bears.
Nice job by me.
Nice.
Good memory. That's 2008 Super Bowl or 2010?
Yeah, well, whatever you want. Whatever makes you right.
Let's go with 2009 between both.
Looking ahead to Sunday. Sunday will mark 1982. NFL players announced their first ever in-season strike in the 63-year history of the NFL. The strike lasted 57 days and the season was reduced from 16 to 9 games.
Yeah. Is that when the scabs happened then?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. And that was not...
that was bad football.
Not pretty, yeah. And did they have a couple of guys that actually stayed in the National Football League?
Yeah,
afterwards?
But they were kind of...
Talk about awesome. Talk about not being welcomed in the locker room.
Correct,
right?
Yes. In 1998, on Sunday, Cal Ripken did not suit up for the Baltimore Orioles, ending his consecutive game streak at a Major League Baseball record, 2,632 consecutive games.
Yeah, still living in Maryland when the record was broken. Boy, that was a magical night to watching him do the lap around the field. And want to talk about iconic figures and families in the Maryland area. Has a baseball facility just north of Baltimore, which is, I think they're affiliated with the Orioles themselves. But you want a book about sports and Hammer, this would be good for you. It was Cal Ripken Sr. that wrote a book called The Ripken Way that just kind of talks about the theory he used with his own children and about repetition and about skill development and different things. Actually, pretty good read. Mm.
Well, they have a whole complex in Maryland.
Yeah, just north
on
of
Ripken baseball.
Yeah.
On this day in 2009, Brett Favre made his 271st consecutive start, breaking Jim Marshall's record for the longest consecutive games played streak in the NFL. So juxtapose that against Cal Ripken ending his streak on this day.
That's pretty
amazing when you get a quarterback that has that kind of durability, considering how many hits they take in a game and how many blindside hits they take.
Well, and this guy wasn't exactly protecting himself, right? I mean, he's just a gunslinger. He's into the pocket. That to me, and I always wonder, what are you feeling like 10 years after the fact, right? As you start to advance in age and the toll that's taken on your body and your head.
Sports birthdays on this day. Tony Kukoc, former member of the Bulls. I think he was on three of the title-winning teams.
Yeah.
You certainly would have seen him during the documentary The Last Dance. Well, Tony Kukoc turns 52 today.
And that story at
Not
the time.
Well, right?
No, and really how sad it was. And it really goes back to the 92 Olympics, right? And there was supposed to be this guy coming and the general manager chatting him up to be better than Scottie Pippen. Those guys just absolutely hated him. And then he had to come over and get into the NBA. No, it was a really rough ride for him and still turned out to be a real nice player.
The 2 years that Jordan took off to play baseball, Tony Kukoc kind of stepped in. And
one of the years, he
was very, very good.
Well, and it was one of the years that Pippen didn't want the ball, right?
Right. Oh, that's right. He ended up taking that. They drew up the play for him after Scotty had a sack attack.
And Pippen sulked and was sad, and I'm staying on the bench.
Lance Armstrong is 49 today. Of course, 7-time winner of the Tour de France, stripped of all 7 titles for being a doper.
Yeah, I don't want to say unfortunate, just unfortunate how much he lied and all the lives he hurt, but in a sport where you're not winning unless you're doping, I don't have any problem with it. An amazing athlete, and as I said, there's another. Watched a real good documentary on him where he finally came clean, explained the whole process. What was really cool, JR, basically in high school, before he ever took anything, was an unbelievable athlete and was really big in the United States. Was a triathlete.
Ronaldo turns 44 today. This is not the Portuguese Ronaldo. This is the Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah. What about 3 bills now? Maybe 350?
Yeah,
okay. That was nasty how fat he got in a hurry. Hey?
Can't get up and down the pitch anymore.
Hockey birthdays today. Tom Chorsky. Traveled around the NHL, played a bunch of games, but he turns 54 today. He was played for the Sens.
Yeah.
Memory serves, I believe, scored the first playoff overtime winner for the Ottawa Senators.
Remember Tommy and a bunch of buddies that were in Montreal's camp. He came out of, I believe, the University of Minnesota, and boy, could he skate. Might have even been a first-round pick or second-round pick of Montreal, but his time was in New Jersey, and there was a pipeline of trades from Richer to Lemieux to Tommy Chorsky. Tommy came in and became one of the best role players, utility players, and penalty killers in the NHL. And I just remember David Poile being shocked when he was suddenly either left unprotected or put on waivers by New Jersey, and Ottawa ended up picking him up. They had the first pick overall, and the rest is history. But he was a really, really good player under Jacques Lemaire.
Peter Budaj turns 38 years old today, longtime NHL goaltender, mostly kind of backup guy, right? But kind of a 1B for a long time.
Yeah, but backup. But I thought about 8 years ago this guy was done and then found a spot in L.A. And just like old Dobie, some of these goaltenders that figure it out to be a good pro, to be a good backup, he ended up having a nice career for himself and made a little bit of cash.
Ralph Backstrom turns 83 today, long time. He was a member of the Montreal Canadiens, right? He was the one traded. Was he not the one traded to Los Angeles by Sam Pollock to make sure that L.A. finished ahead of the Oakland Seals.
The Golden Seals, yeah.
Because Montreal already owned Oakland's first, their first rounder,
yeah.
Which turned out to be Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, no, that's...
That's some good That's why Sam Pollock was about 19 miles ahead of everybody
else. And originally with that full head of hair with the flower... I wonder how that would have looked in well, that's Northern California, you know, cruising around. Hey, that might not have been a bad life for him. I think he drove the Monte Carlo, at least he did on TV, cruising around in that and around Oakland and L.A., not a bad.
Three big names celebrating birthdays today, hockey birthdays. Darryl Sittler is 70 years old today, Hockey Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
10 points in one game, of course, famously. Still holds the record for that. That probably never will get broken unless they change the rules of hockey completely.
Yeah. How many Stanley Cups with the Leafs did he win?
He didn't win any.
No, but he and Lanny, along with Boreas Salming, maybe a little bit with Mike Palmatier, the face of the Leafs under terrible times. Also, number retired in London, right? London Knights. And ended up losing his wife about, 15 years ago to cancer. Would see him in the office quite a bit when I worked for the Leafs. Just a really, really nice fella.
Yeah. 484 career goals. I always think about those guys that played a long, long time and got that close to 500. But just Glenn Anderson, I think. Retired or couldn't find a job at 498, believe it or not.
No, and it was Peter Bonder after he left Ottawa. Chicago gave him a little chance to get to 500. To me, 500 used to be, and I still think you should be in the Hall of Fame if you end up getting it. You're right. The Markovs of the world, 990 games with Montreal, then decided, got a little funny. Was it Mike Modano, that old Babs, our good friend, sat out for his 1,500th game?
Yeah. Mike Modano.
Yeah.
Peter Stastny is 64 today. I can't believe Peter Stastny, 64. 1,239 points in 977 games.
Yeah, in conversation for one of the greatest players of all time, and even for the age he came over and played with my buddy Dale Hunter and Michel Goulet on just a hell of a line. Met Peter a whole lot and has a whole lot to say, and for a long time was rumored to be or thought to be the next president of Slovakia, but something kind of went a little sideways on that, and we have an opportunity in the playoffs to watch his son Paul play, who played at the University of Denver and has had a real nice career as well.
And last but certainly not least on the hockey birthday front today, Scotty Bowman turns 87 years old, and we had Scotty on the show a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah.
I cannot believe how, you know, and listen, there's lots of people into their 80s that are with it, but man, he was like sharp as a tack. He's got the stories, he's got everything going on.
Yeah, all I remember from the interview was knowing his address when he was working for the paint company, and did he ask the one fella to come to the game with him?
In Ottawa, right? Oh yeah, that was a bizarre story.
And he had his address, which I think is where the YMCA is, right off of the highway right now.
Yeah.
That was the part when I was just thinking, and just say, I'm selling paint in Eastern Ontario. And then I'm talking to, is it Sam Pollock that he referenced all the time, or was it Toe Blake?
I think
Sam Pollock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and you know, and then starting in Peterborough and going through his incredible journey to be the greatest coach in the history of the National Hockey League.
Absolutely. So if you are celebrating a birthday today or at any point this weekend, happy birthday to you.